But as Christmas 2022 approaches, it seems almost impossible that we are still living in a world where many people are still asking the question, just who is Jesus Christ? Well, who is Jesus? Do you have an answer? If someone were to ask you the question, who is Jesus Christ, how would you answer it? A few years ago, a copy of U.S. News and World Report ran a cover and an artist's depiction of Jesus with the title inscribed, The Jesus Code. America is rethinking the Messiah again. In year 2000, a major TV network aired a documentary entitled The Search for Jesus, featuring scholars who pooled their ignorance. It was like a group of blindfolded men in a cave with a jug of lightning trying to examine the noonday sun as they attempted to examine the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you want to know something? They didn't find him because they were looking in the wrong place. Way back in December of 1994, the cover of Life magazine featured a painting representing Jesus with three words superimposed upon it. Who was he? Well, they, of course, were asking the wrong question. The question has never been, who was he? The question is, who is he? And you know, the world is never going to answer that question until the sin question is answered. Who is Jesus? Well, I'd like to ask you tonight, who is Jesus to you? You know, some wag way back in the day, they did an estimate. I don't know where they came up with their figures, but they estimated that the number of people who've ever lived on planet Earth has been 30 billion people. Think on that for just a moment. Let's just assume he's right. 30 billion people have lived on planet Earth. How many of you would agree? Man, there's a lot of people been on this planet, amen? What's more, only a handful of those people have risen to prominence that they ever changed the course of human history. And among them, one name stands out above all others, and that name is Jesus Christ. Friends, no other person has attracted so much attention, so much devotion, so much criticism, so much hatred, so much opposition, and so much adoration as Jesus Christ. He lived in the flesh about 2,000 years ago in a small rural country by the name of Israel. And yet, his birthday divides history, divides the timeline into B.C., and A.D. Jesus' earthly ministry lasted but 3 short years. Yet his message travels around the world today. We are here some 2,000 years later because we believe in Jesus. Amen. And yet his word travels around by television, by radio, across YouTube, across every social media thing there is out there today. And any time you look at your watch, millions of people in the world at that very moment are reading and studying about Jesus Christ. Jesus had no formal education, and yet his life caused the founding of colleges, of seminaries, and universities more than any other name. Multiple thousands of hospitals, orphanages have been built in the name of Jesus Christ, and yet in a television interview some years ago, Larry King, that late night show host, was asked, Larry, Larry, if you could meet God and ask him one question, what would it be? Well, he pondered that for about a half a second, and he said, I would ask God if he had a son. Now, friends, I don't know if Larry King ever discovered that God had a son. I hope that he did. Because if you don't discover the son, you'll never get home to heaven. Noted historian Kenneth Scott Latouro said, and I quote, Jesus has had more effect on the history of mankind than any other man who ever existed. Nobody has had the influence Jesus Christ of Nazareth has had. To explain him as impossible, to ignore him as disastrous, to reject him as fatal. My speech is too limited to describe him, my mind too small to comprehend him, and my heart too inadequate to fully contain this one whose name is Jesus. To rightly answer the question, who is Jesus? We don't ask man. We look into the Word of God. Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight and be finding the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and that's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And if you find chapter 2, this is a good place to begin because here we learn all we need to know about Jesus Christ. And if you'll please rise with me as we honor the Lord with a reading of His Word tonight. I want to begin here in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Father, we just thank you once again to be in your word. Lord, I know for myself that there is no better place to be. It is the place I love to be. Lord, we hear a lot in this world today about a happy place. Well, Father, I just want to say tonight that my happy place is the Word of God. For it is here I learn everything that I need to know about you. And Lord, we're gathered here, and I pray tonight for these who've come and those who are listening that the happy place for them would be the Word of God as well. There's nothing else that can sustain us in life. There's nothing else that can guide us in life. There is nothing else that can give us such joy, such love, such hope, such excitement as God and His Word. Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to discover just who Jesus is tonight. In your name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. I want to begin by looking at the supernatural Son. Who is Jesus? He is the supernatural Son. The infinite becomes an infant, fulfilling Isaiah 7:14, where we read, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Well, I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you find it hard to believe Jesus was born of a virgin? And if you do, you're not alone. The first to struggle with it was Mary herself. How can this be? That's what she asked God. That's what she asked the angel. How can this be? The angel answered, For with God nothing is impossible. And I hope you've known that in your own life. I hope that God is showing you that there is nothing that is impossible for Him. You know, sometimes I think God gives us problems or issues or whatever you want to call it in life because they're building blocks to faith. And not only are they building blocks to faith, they're His means of getting us to cry out to Him. And I am reminded of David, who faced all kinds of problems in life. I mean, King Saul wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy him. And then, so David had some problems from the outside. And you know that David brought some problems on himself, didn't he, as well. And but David cried out to God. And friends, that's what we need to do. We need to, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our struggles, because when we cry out to God, He shows us that He's got a bigger than Goliath solution to all that we're going through. Our God is as big as the God we believe in. And I hope you believe in God. I hope you know. And nothing is impossible with God. Amen? How can this be? For with God, nothing is impossible. Well, if you admit that God created the first man out of nothing, and don't you think that God could bring a baby into the world through a virgin? See, if you reject the virgin birth, you got some character problems. You have a problem with the character of the Word of God. You've got a problem with that, for the Word of God clearly teaches it. You've got a problem with Mary herself. If Jesus Christ was not virgin born, that means that Mary was promiscuous. And she lied about everything. If you got a problem with the virgin birth, you got a problem with Jesus Himself, with His character. If He was not born of a virgin, then He was a son of Adam. And He inherited Adam's sinful nature. And that means that He was not sinless. And if Jesus was a sinner, we're not saved. We're still dead in our trespasses. We cannot call Him our Savior. We can't even call Him our Lord. You see, the Bible clearly teaches, 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, in Adam all die. Most importantly, the biggest character problem we have is with ourselves. Because without the virgin birth, you have no hope of salvation. None. Jesus Christ is a supernatural Son, but He's more than that. He's also the sinless Son. Look at verse 8 here in Philippians chapter 2. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. You see, He was the obedient Son of God. Not one time did Jesus ever transgress the Father's will. He said in John 8 and 29, I always do those things that please Him. Oh, would that we could say the same thing. I always do those things that please Him. Let that sink in for just a moment. And then let us follow that example from this day forward. God the Father said of Him in Matthew 3 and 17, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And oh, that God could say that of every one of us. You know, I've always admired Samuel in the Bible, because this is what God said of Samuel. Not one of His words fell to the ground. Think of that. Every word that Samuel spoke was for instruction, uplifting, encouragement. Not one of His words fell to the ground. I wonder how many of my words have fell to the ground. How many of your words might fall to the ground? And here's something we need to think about. One day, do you realize we're going to give an account for every word we've ever said? I don't know about you. That puts a little bit of fear in me because I can't remember some of the things I've said. What about you? But this is My beloved Son. Satan unleashed all the artillery of hell against the Lord Jesus Christ, but never once did Satan get Him to sin. The ruler of this world, Jesus said in John 14 and 13, the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming, Jesus said, and he has nothing in Me. And oh, that we could say the same thing. We've been redeemed. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. We have the ability to never sin again. You realize that Romans teaches that. Don't yield yourselves to Satan. Don't yield yourselves to the temptation of this world. Let it be that we also could say, the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me, because our Savior could say that. Jesus is the sinless Son. You and I have sinned, but our sins have been forgiven. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are free. We are free from sin. All that ugliness of our past, whatever might be right now in our present, let us get shut of it. And let us pray to God that when we're tempted to sin in the future, we will not do it. Because we are born again. Born from above. And we have a Savior who empowers us and who loves us and has given us His Spirit to be our helper. But then He's also the sovereign Son. Philippians 2 and 6 says, to be equal with God. It's important to understand that Jesus is not only the Son of God, He is God the Son. God in the flesh. Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and our Jewish friends do not believe it, but by the authority of God Himself, Jesus makes that claim. In Hebrews 1:8, Jehovah is speaking, but to the Son, He, Jehovah, God the Father, God calls His Son the Lord. God says it through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 9 and 6, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is God. He is the sovereign Son of God. You know, there was that time when the Pharisees were arguing with Jesus. And if you remember, they were sneering at His birth. And they were boasting. They say, we have Abraham as our father. We know about your birth, that illegitimate birth. We're not illegitimate. You are. Don't give us that virgin birth. Jesus said something that knocked them right on their heels. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They said, wait a minute. Abraham's been dead for centuries. How can you say Abraham rejoiced to see your day? Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. Purposely use the holiest name given to the Jews for Jehovah, I am. He used the sacred name for the self-existing Almighty God. And at that moment, they took up stones to stone Him. Because He clearly stated that He was co-equal with God the Father. You know, God told Moses to use that name when he went to confront Pharaoh, didn't He? He said, tell them I am hath sent me. Not I was, not I will be, just I am. And Jesus was letting those Pharisees and us know tonight that there has never been a time when He was not. He always will be. That's why He can make the claim, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He always will be. If you take away the deity of Christ, Christianity collapses like a house of cards. Jesus is God in human flesh. This is fundamental.
Jesus is the supernatural, sinless Son of God, born of a virgin. He is the supernatural, sinless, sovereign God in human flesh. No wonder they wanted to stone him when he said this. You know, I've heard it through the years because I've been around a while. And I hear people on TV talk about Jesus the philosopher. You don't just admire him as a great philosopher. Jesus is more than that. You don't just tip your hat to Jesus. You don't just look up to heaven and throw him a wave. You bow the knee. You reverence him. You respect him. You stand, or you bow, or you fall flat on your face. All postures we discover in the scriptures of what people did when they saw him because they were in awe of him. He is the supernatural, sinless, sovereign Son. But friends, he's also the sacrificial Son. The Holy Scriptures teach here, verses 7 and 8, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the, what, church? Jesus Christ. The sovereign, sinless, supernatural Son of God, born of a virgin, was totally and completely obedient. Further confirmation that Jesus is God is found in Acts 20 and 28. Paul is speaking to the pastors of the church at Ephesus when he says, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd. Now watch this next phrase there. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God, the shepherd of the church, purchased it how? With his own blood. How sad it is when a church or a group of people in a church thinks the church belongs to them. Oh, how easy Satan can divide, how easy he can get a foothold into a church. You see, Jesus is the owner of the church. He's the owner of you and me, if you will. He purchased us. How were we purchased? In his precious blood. How were we forgiven? In his precious blood. How were we made whole again? In his precious blood. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And some people will say, that's a mystery to me. Well, it may be a mystery to you, but friend, it's a fact. It is a fact, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, the Bible teaches. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up the glory. And today we're looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for today. There's no doubt that God was manifested in the flesh. Because the Bible teaches that not only is he a sacrificial son, he's also the surviving son. Death could not hold him. Can you imagine for just a moment the glee that hell had, that Satan had, when Pilate said, is he dead? And they said, yes, he is dead. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus asked for the body, but Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And oh, the party that hell had when Jesus died, and he's in the grave, but he's no longer in the grave because Jesus said that he would rise again, and Jesus Christ has risen again, and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven tonight, but he is coming soon. Listen to what Jesus said. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And because he could take up his life, you and I are guaranteed that it, should we leave this earth, in, you know, have to go through the middle man, which I'm definitely hoping to avoid. I want to see the upper taker, not the undertaker. But if we got to go through the middle man, you can be guaranteed of this. The Bible says the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will meet the Lord in the air, and together forever we'll be with the Lord. Amen. Jesus survives the ages, friends. He's not somewhere in a tomb, but actively involved in our lives. The Bible says, Hebrews 7 and 25, and I quote, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." What a wonderful thought. You may be going through something right now that you don't have any answers for. You don't even know how to pray for. But you know what Jesus is doing? He's praying for you in heaven. He's making intercession. I love the word intercession. It means that someone dared enough to care enough to step into the gap for you. You know, no matter how bad it might seem to get down here on this earth, we know this, there is a God in heaven who is praying for us. And what's more, when God prays, his prayers are answered. Think all the things you've been through in your life. It hadn't been a mountaintop experience, has it? There have been some peaks, there's been some low valleys. Many of us have been on a roller coaster like nobody's business. We've had highs, we've had lows, we've had tears, we've had joys, we've had just about everything in life, amen? But there's a God in heaven who prays for us. Because he prays for us, he sustains us by his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. There is a God in heaven who has promised, and I love the way Paul put it, but my God, and you and I get to say that, my God, because we know him as Savior, but my God shall supply all my need in Christ Jesus. All my need. Not some of my need, all my need. Let me ask you tonight, do you know what you need? The reality is you only think you know what you need, but God knows what you need. Amen? My God will supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what that means? You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. There is a God in heaven who says, I'll take care of you. You don't need to worry about taking care of you because I got this. What a God. What an awesome, awesome God. He's able to save to the uttermost. Now, why Christmas? Because of Calvary. Christmas makes Calvary possible. For the Son of Man, God in human flesh, came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but I was lost. I was as lost can be. But then Jesus found me. And I'm so glad he found me. You see, I didn't find him. He found me. He sought me,
and he bought me in his precious blood. And what's more, not only did he seek me and buy me in his precious blood, he's also promised me, listen, I'm praying for you. Listen, don't worry about your needs because I already got that covered. What I need you to do is to follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they what, church? They follow me. They don't try to lead me. They don't try to tell me what to do. You see, if you're a sheep of the Lord, you learn how to follow him. Who is Jesus? He is the supernatural, sinless, sovereign, sacrificial, surviving Son of God. And I want you to know tonight that you and I, we have a date with deity. One day you're going to meet the inescapable Lord Jesus Christ, and you are going to bow the knee and you are going to confess with your tongue the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says so. Not because Pastor Don says so. The Bible says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know the question you got to answer for yourself? And if you're listening online tonight, are you going to do that in heaven or are you going to do it in hell? One thing's for certain. When Jesus Christ says you're going to bow the knee, you're going to bow the knee. And when Jesus Christ says you're going to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're going to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And there's a great story in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. It's the story of a rich man and Lazarus. Now the rich man, he just watched out for himself. He didn't want anything to do with God, and he's in hell. And you know what? He never argues about being there. Because he knows that's what he deserved. And he bowed the knee and he confessed. And then he wanted to send somebody back to help his brothers not have to come to hell. My hope is that you're saved tonight. If you're not yet saved, my earnest desire for you is that you will be saved. Perhaps you're in this sanctuary tonight or you're listening online. The question remains, will you give your heart to Jesus? Again, it's by repenting of your sin. If you're watching online tonight or you're here in this sanctuary, you might begin to pray this prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you love me and want to save me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I now turn from my sin and by faith receive you into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save me, Lord Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer online tonight, you contact us here at Green Valley. Because we want to put a Bible in your hands. We want to help you begin your walk with Christ. Moment, we're going to close this service with an invitational hymn. Now, you're here tonight and you might be saved. How many do you know say? Who in your life are you wondering about? Who in your life do you have a holy fear for? Because you're just not certain. Words are easy. Actions are hard. But Jesus said, by our fruit, we shall know them. See, how are you going to know another Christian? By the fruit. Friend, where there's no fruit, do you ever wonder if there's really been transformation? Do you ever wonder if someone's been saved? There's so many lost tonight. One of the greatest mission fields in the world today is right in the local church. There are people who come week after week after week, and yet they've never given their heart to Jesus. They've got a mental assent with them. They agree, but they try to live life in their own strength. One thing I do know is that every soul who's ever gotten saved got saved because someone was praying for them. I got saved because my granddaddy prayed for me faithfully. My mama and daddy prayed for me. And then they got their friends praying for me. And their friends got their friends praying for me. And the pastor of my home church got other pastors to pray for me. And I was someone who grew up in the church, drug there every time the doors were open. So I know, because I'm a testimony of someone who was prayed for and someone who got saved. That's why I believe that every soul that's ever gotten saved got saved because someone was praying for them. Someone was standing in the gap. Someone dared enough to care enough to just come and call out my name. Well, tonight as we get ready to sing our invitational hymn, we have that same opportunity. We can call out the name. We can ask God, God, will you save them? Will you do whatever it takes? Our God's a great God, isn't he? That's the Jesus that I know. That's who Jesus is. Well, Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. For what your word teaches about Jesus, these timeless truths. And Lord, I just pray tonight that for someone to have gotten saved. I pray tonight that, Lord, we'd all think about our own lives, and even if we are saved, that perhaps we'll walk just a little bit closer to you tonight. Perhaps we'll come and surrender just a little bit more. We sang that great song this morning, I Surrender All, and Lord, I certainly hope we will. Father, we all have people in our family who we're concerned about. As someone once said, every family has a story. They certainly do. Every family has a story of people who are lost in it. Loved ones that we care about. Loved ones that we want to see in heaven. So tonight as we stand and sing, Lord, if you're speaking to our heart, help us to obey. Help us to come and stand in the gap and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.